ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Well, as we've heard across the country this weekend, men and women in their thousands joined rallies calling for an end to family and domestic violence for themselves and countless others, especially those who have lost their lives. The Prime Minister joined the rally in Canberra, and these protests continue not only in the capital cities but in regional centres as well, including those that have been directly affected. This violence has been called a scourge, a national shame, and there are mounting calls for a royal commission. Anne Summers is Professor of Domestic and Family Violence at the University of Technology in Sydney, and Antoinette Braybrook is the Chief Executive of the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island Family Violence Prevention and Legal Service, JIRA. Anne and Antoinette, tens of thousands of Australians have come together this weekend, and do you see it as a turning point?
Well, I certainly hope so. I think what's precipitated it has been the extraordinary number of deaths of women over the last couple of years, but particularly in the last few months. I mean, 27 deaths of women across Australia from male violence so far this year is a shocking number in itself, but it's also a very dramatic reversal of the trends by which femicides in this country were actually declining a bit until 2 years ago. So what we need to know is, why is this happening and what can we do to stop it? And I'm very pleased that Michaela Cronin, who's the Federal Domestic, Family and Sexual Commissioner, is convening a round table, and I guess you'll be there, Antoinette, hopefully.
Yes.
A round table on women's deaths by murder, women missing, presumed dead, and suicides. So it's going to be the first ever, to my knowledge, a roundtable discussion, about 60 participants from around Australia, all bringing various forms of expertise and lived experience to focus on that one question about, why have these women been murdered? What do we know about the men who did it? And how can we stop it happening in the future? Very, very focused and very, very necessary.
Antoinette, what do you think people are not understanding about what's going on?
Certainly agree with what Anne said, and I do hope that this is a turning point, because I've spent 22 years working at the front line of Aboriginal women's safety, and in that time I've only seen things get worse, not better. And, you know, we've been calling year after year for increased funding to meet the demand for our services, our frontline work, legal, non-legal work, And that has not been forthcoming. And so we are very clear that in order to address violence against Aboriginal women, there must be an investment in Aboriginal women's self-determination and our specialist family violence community organisations. And the way I see it, there's two unique opportunities right at this point in time. And one is the recent review of the National Legal Assistance Partnership Agreement undertaken by Dr. Mundy, which we are calling for its immediate release, and also a implementation and investment into those recommendations from that report. JIRA, together with the other Aboriginal Family Violence Prevention and Legal Services around the country, are the lowest funded of the four legal assistance providers in the country. And our core business is family violence and Aboriginal women's safety. The second unique opportunity I see is that we have a dedicated national plan underway, and that needs to be fast-tracked. We cannot wait until the 2026 budget for funding to hit the ground for Aboriginal women's safety. And we also think that there's a unique opportunity in there with DSS providing a dedicated funding stream to support our non-legal work for Aboriginal women's safety.
And I wanted to ask you a question about behaviour and beliefs or values. How do we've heard a lot of talk about how we change men's behaviour. Do we need to change the values first to change the behaviour, or can we change the behaviour and the changes in thinking and values will follow?
Well, I think I sort of go straight to the I go straight to the point and say, look, we know a lot about these guys who have been convicted of very violent crimes, many of which are precursors to murder. The tragic, absolutely tragic and totally preventable murder of Molly Ticehurst in Victoria last week. That her former husband who killed her had so many red flags attached to him that, he shouldn't have been allowed anywhere near her house, and yet he managed to get there and kill her. We have information that we can use to act on immediately to remove violent offenders either from the streets or to make them accountable, make them ensure that they don't breach their apprehended violence orders or other restrictions on them, and to certainly give the women who have been specifically threatened by these guys the kind of police protection they need. So I think what we do is the behaviour is there and we have to deal with it. I mean, what we do as well to try and change society is a separate exercise, but there's an urgency now that the rate at which women are being killed, and let's not kid ourselves, this is the fact that these guys are getting away with it is going to encourage other men. And this is the source of the crisis as far as I'm concerned.
And Anne, of course, cases which are unfolding and before the courts, we can't comment on directly, and the presumption of innocence is there. For you, Antoinette, what do you think about this balance between behaviour and values and belief? How do we tackle all of this?
There's a few things in this for me. Firstly, I just want to say that Jira is presently working with, a number of women, and it's the same perpetrator. So we have serial perpetrators.
Yep.
And the second thing that I want to say with respect to Aboriginal women is we've got to stop labelling this issue as violence in Aboriginal communities. It creates an invisibility and compromises Aboriginal women's safety further. This is a gendered issue for Aboriginal women, and we need to start naming it that. Our women are partnered with men from many different cultures and backgrounds, so it's not an Aboriginal problem as such, right? Our priority is about Aboriginal women's safety, and we're just fighting all of the time to bring funding to our service to ensure that Aboriginal women are safe with their kids and escaping the violence. And I agree with Anne about the points that she's made. But when I think about tough on crime approaches as well, we just need to be mindful of these statistics when it comes to Aboriginal people anything that goes to that needs to ensure that Aboriginal people's voices are at the table. In our work, Aboriginal women seeking safety, but they're treated as criminals. They're misidentified, criminalised, and incarcerated. And so it's really complex, but a simple solution for us is to invest in Aboriginal self-determination and our specialist family violence organisations that prioritise Aboriginal women's safety.
I think that's right, Antoinette. I mean, I totally understand the point about and the risks involved for Aboriginal women complainants ended up being victimised and even incarcerated. And this is a shocking lack of justice and that needs to be redressed immediately and can be. And I think the point you're making is that then the funding that we get, which is inadequate in overall terms, that when you break it down and look at the specific needs of specific areas and specific groups, including Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders, I would also add to that women in rural areas of whatever background, because those women are the majority of victims at present. They don't have access to the same level of services, however inadequate they might be in the city. They're far, far worse or non-existent. the further away you get from the cities. And often the police are not doing their job properly, if at all. And I think we need money, as you're saying, to be targeted to the expertise that can address these problems and has local knowledge of the people involved and can actually stop crime, as refugees stop crime, by taking women in and providing them with safety. And we need to make sure that these services that are in the business of saving lives are properly paid.
Anne Summers and Antoinette Braybrook, time has run against us, unfortunately, but thank you both very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anne Summers is Professor of Domestic and Family Violence at the University of Technology in Sydney, and Antoinette Braybrook is the Chief Executive, the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island Family Violence Prevention and Legal Service, JURA.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.